Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 3rd to 23rd in communities across Canada. La Fondation canadienne pour le dialogue des cultures, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association through the Community Radio Fund of Canada and this station, present the RBF series January through March of 2016. For more information, check out www.ncra.ca/RBF.
Hello and welcome to today's show. Bonjour et bienvenue. My name is Viosa, and this episode is coming to you from CJRU, the Scope AM at Ryerson University in Toronto. Toronto is home to about 2.8 million people, making us the largest city in Canada. According to the City of Toronto, there are over 140 languages spoken here, apart from French and English. Toronto's cultural mosaic is colorful and diverse. Torontonians can enjoy a range of cultural experiences from countries all over the world without leaving the comfort of their own city. Step onto College Street between Bathurst and Shaw Streets, and benvenuto, you're in Little Italy. Go along Bloor Street between Christie and Bathurst Streets and take in the sights and sounds of Koreatown. From Greektown and Chinatown, all the way to Little Portugal and Little Tibet, there are countless other little pockets of the city that offer a window into a different world. And not so long ago, Toronto's Francophone population was trying to figure out if there was any part of the city they could call home. The idea of creating a French Quarter, or a Quartier Français, had been kicking around for quite some time. Jean-Pierre Bouet was the president of ACFO, or l'Association des Communautés Francophones de l'Ontario, at Toronto, in 2011. Back then, he told the National Post that the idea of creating a French Quarter had been around for a decade. The plan was to establish a French Quarter just a stone's throw from our studio here at Ryerson University, on Carleton Street, between Yonge and Parliament Streets. ACFO's website also features a map of the proposed quarter, with different pinpoints of French language hubs, government offices, schools, and businesses. I spoke to the director of one of these organizations, Thierry Lasserre of l'Alliance Française.
Alors, l'Alliance Française, c'est une très vieille institution qui a été créée en 1883.
The Alliance Française, a very old institution created in 1883 by Louis Pasteur, the scientist who discovered the vaccine for rabies. Joliet, the author of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Journey to the Center of the Earth, etc. And Ferdinand de Lesseps, the engineer who built the Suez Canal.
L'objectif, donc les missions des Alliances Françaises au travers le monde, sont la promotion...
The mission... of Alliance Française around the world is the promotion of the French language, the promotion of the Francophone culture, and the dialogues between cultures, or intercultural dialogue.
Le génie, en fait, de ces trois créateurs, c'était de dire que les alliances françaises ne sont pas...
The genius of these three founders was to say that the Alliances Françaises are not French governmental agencies, but are associations that are created locally. This means that they also take the nationality of the places where they are established. So, American in America, Burkinabés in Burkina Faso, and of course, Canadian in Canada. It's the oldest French institution in Toronto, and I would also say, probably in all of Canada. Of course, with its three missions, and when we talk about Francophone culture in Canada, it covers a different breadth because it represents all of the different Francophone cultures, Franco-Ontarians, Franco-Manitobans, Arcadians, Quebecois, etc.
Il y a aujourd'hui à peu près 1000 alliances françaises dans le monde. En nombre d'étudiants.
Today, there are about 1,000 alliances françaises around the world. In the number of students we have in Toronto, our alliance française is the sixth largest. I'll provide you with some numbers now. 6,500 students come to study French here at l'Alliance. The youngest student is 9 months and in a course called Baby Alliance. So they do children's activities with their parent. Our oldest student is 87 years old.
Du point de vue de la programmation maintenant culturelle, la programmation des promotion des cultures.
From the point of view of our cultural programming, the promotion of francophone cultures, the Alliance Française in Toronto is probably one of the biggest programmers of unique events in the city. There are more than 100 events per year that fit in various themes.
Sur des thématiques. Bien sûr, cette année, nous célébrons le 400e anniversaire de la présence francophone.
Obviously, this year we are celebrating the 400th anniversary of the francophone presence in Ontario. And all of these highlight our different activities.
Le mercredi, nous avons des soirées gastronomiques, vin et fromage.
On Wednesdays, we have wine and cheese nights, or conferences, or gallery viewings.
Le jeudi est consacré au cinéma.
Thursday is dedicated to cinema. Friday and Saturday are reserved for concerts like jazz music, chamber, and world music as well. Finally, Sunday is dedicated to activities for kids.
I asked Thierry what he thought other francophone organizations could do in the city to elevate the culture's presence.
You know, that's always an odd question or weird question or difficult question to respond, because I can only stay, you know, in my area of expertise. I will start with a success story. That is the Bloor Street Culture Corridor. The Bloor Street Culture Corridor is like the Museum Mile of New York, but even better, because it's 12 cultural organizations along Bloor Street. My dream is not really for the francophone community. It's more like for the community altogether. My vision of Toronto is not like adding like community, you know, one and the other. It's like mixing the communities.
So for Thierry, it's not so much what other francophone organizations can do to elevate the French presence in Toronto. The emphasis is more on what francophone organizations can do to integrate with other community groups and share French culture to a wider audience. After November's terror attacks in Paris, Thierry says that unifying cultures is key.
Il s'est passé beaucoup de choses, malheureusement, dans les dernières semaines, dans les derniers mois. Et je crois vraiment que l'éducation et la culture...
Several things have happened, unfortunately, in the last few weeks and last few months. And I truly believe that education and culture are keys to success and integration to fight against all forms of racism. And I would like to humbly say that the Alliance Française of Toronto plays this role.
À se rencontrer, à se retrouver ensemble.
To bring people together, to meet each other, and to be together, in order to advance in the same direction, to know each other, and to not be afraid of one another. And that, for me, is something that's really amazing and really important.
De voir le sourire d'un enfant qui prend un cours de français, de voir le sourire ou d'entendre les félicitations de...
And to see the smile on a child's face who has taken French courses, to hear the congratulations of a spectator who came to an event and thinks, wow, I did not know this singer, this is truly amazing. That's what we're here for.
Et puis aussi de voir les gens dans le voisinage... nous demander de plus en plus...
Also, to see people in the neighborhood asking us more and more to have meetings here. For example, the Annex Residents Association, the Ontario Association of Architects, coming here and saying we really like the way things are done here because you really bring people together. That, for me, is the best compliment.
Ça, pour moi, c'est vraiment la plus belle récompense.
And as for creating a French Quarter in Toronto, well, he isn't so convinced.
Now, you were talking about a quartier francophone. Personally, I can't see it. You know, all the community were building their own neighborhood over the years. I mean, the French or the francophones are in Ontario for over 400 years. They didn't create like a quartier or a neighborhood. Why should that happen now? I mean, it cannot be, on my perspective, it cannot be like a political project. It has to be a neighborhood project, and that will be like building over the years.
One thing Thierry did want to see in Toronto, however, was a French language bookstore. The city's last French bookstore, Librairie Champlain, closed its doors back in 2009. It was one of only 8 in Ontario. Just a few months ago, in November 2015, Toronto welcomed a new bookstore, La Librairie Mosaïque. It's housed inside the downtown location of Alliance Française, on 24 Spadina Road in Toronto. The bookstore may now be open, but developing a French literary scene in Toronto is a cultural project that will require a bit of creativity to establish, said Anne Forrest-Wilson. Anne is a professor at York University's Glendon College in Toronto. She's also the founder and director of Écriture en Mouvement, an organization that promotes literature through various writing challenges. For Anne, the printed page is irreplaceable. Just listen to how she describes books.
Il y a tous les gadgets, les ordinateurs, les tablettes, les téléphones super sophistiqués et tout. Moi, j'ai horreur de ça.
There are so many gadgets, computers, tablets, super sophisticated cell phones. Me, I don't understand all that, because for me, the phone is just for calling people. But also, I believe that books are easy to transport. There is a physical connection to books. Well, books have less and less of a smell. It's a bit like Christmas trees. It doesn't smell like anything. I'm not sure of the reason they removed the smell, but nonetheless, they have succeeded in almost entirely taking away the odor of ink, which is too bad.
Il reste une dimension essentielle. Moi, je sais que j'aime toucher un livre. Celui-là, il me plaît beaucoup parce qu'il est d'une telle douceur.
But there is a sensual dimension that remains. Myself, I know that I love to touch books. This book here pleases me a lot because it's soft. Like, it's a bit like a baby's bottom. It doesn't need cream. I'm saying this, and it sounds a bit provocative, but it's true that in touching a book, the way we turn the page, the sound it makes, and all, it's a connection that we can't have with a tablet. Sorry, you can tap all you want on your tablet, you will never get that same connection at the sensual level. Already, you've opened up a new world.
La lecture est devenue quelque chose de difficile dans un monde qui va toujours plus vite parce que ça prend du temps et de l'énergie et ça prend un morceau de cerveau.
Reading has become something difficult in a world that is always moving faster because it takes time and energy and it takes a bit of brain power each time. Many people have the experience of reading the same sentence four times and not understanding it, not because they are stupid, but because they don't have the attention span necessary or the concentration after a day of work. It's very difficult. So reading is very demanding. It's not as easy as that. It's not passive, and it's not like television because it doesn't come so easily. There is inevitably an effort that needs to be made at the globular level, in comprehension, in language, in discovery. And what's interesting is when you make that discovery, and a discovery takes time. I think we need to attract the public towards love, a love to read and desire to, because what we read in a book cannot be found anywhere else.
She's also the creator of a project called Les 24 Heures du Roman. Let's hear what it's all about.
Alors, les 24 heures de roman, c'est une expérience qu'on a faite au mois d'octobre.
Les 24 heures du roman is an event that we did in October 2015, and it consisted of bringing together 24 Francophone authors who come from France, Acadie, Quebec. We had two First Nations, plus Franco-Ontarians. These 24 professional writers had to write a book on board a train in 24 hours between Halifax and Toronto. It was important to organize things in advance with regards to the structure of the book.
D'organiser un petit peu les choses à l'avance au sens de la structure du roman. Donc chaque auteur.
Each author could choose from 20 possible themes, and they each had to pick three. They also had to pitch which direction they were going to take the theme. So there were the thematic options, but there were also chronological events in Champlain's life. They had to make a choice for their theme and explain why. Afterwards, we looked at what each author requested and tried to respect their wishes.
Ensuite, ils ont su très peu de temps avant d'entrer dans le train.
Afterwards, they had very little time before entering the train to find out what theme was selected for them. Up until the last moments before boarding, they didn't know what they would be working on. They knew it would be about Champlain. They had a vague idea. But there was nothing concrete apart from the possibility of three themes.
À la suite de quoi ils se sont rencontrés pendant 48 heures. Ils ont eu quatre séances de travail.
Afterwards, they met for 48 hours. They had four work sessions in groups and a session with everyone together. We gathered in a circle at the Halifax Library. I wanted to do a run-through of the whole book to make sure the story held water and to see if there were any problems before boarding the train.
Quand on était en cercle à Halifax, c'était extrêmement émouvant parce que chacun s'est positionné avec son chapitre.
Et, when we were in the circle in Halifax, it was incredibly moving because everyone positioned themselves with their chapter. And I don't think that authors normally do this work of telling the story before writing it. At that moment, we got a glimpse that this book really existed. It was a moment of deep conviction that the novel existed. It wasn't written, but it existed. It was a complete paradox. It's a completely paradoxical enterprise from start to finish, because what we were doing just doesn't happen. But there was an enjoyment, pleasure, and a happiness that felt rare. Seeing all this happen was a bit like watching the dress rehearsal of a play. There was some repetition, but everything fell into place.
The finished book is called Sur les traces de Champlain, in celebration of the 400th anniversary of the arrival of explorer Samuel de Champlain. To find out more about the book, visit www.écriture-en-mouvement.com. While the project was a huge success for Anne, she believes that the next literary challenge her organization takes on will be bilingual. But why?
Je pense qu'il faut, moi, mon intime conviction, c'est qu'il faut qu'on marche main dans la main avec les anglophones.
My sincere conviction is that we walk hand in hand with the Anglophones. We would succeed more in attracting Anglophones on our terrain and into understanding who we are if we became more engaged with them and had something to offer. I went to an event called
A World on the Street,
absolutely fabulous. Us, the small Francophones communities drowning in a country of Anglophones. We just don't have the capacity to create an event like this, especially in Toronto. In Ottawa, they have this option, more so than us. But us in Toronto, we don't have this capacity to hold an event with a large volume of attendees, in presence of all these stands which were presenting these books. There was an abundance. It was absolutely delicious to see. And we were the only ones, with the exception of the TFO, who had a stand, we were the only ones to be present at this magnificent event. And I was very unhappy about that, because I thought, well, Francophones need to stop complaining. It's time to act now. At all the events, the Anglophones are delighted to receive us. They were delighted we were there. We had two items. So we had this book and a small card game at our stand. The cards were like a medium to learn about Champlain, which allowed some conversations to start. It offered French language beginners a subject to talk about, which was not tendentious or anything. So the cards helped with that. So we really only had two things to sell. And even with just that, people stopped by our stand. They were thrilled and very interested. We got so, so many contacts. It was such a wonderful day. And I thought to myself, well, we have to stop complaining and staying in our corner. We need to be more visible and go to these events. I think that as long as we don't understand that, we must meet up with Anglophones. We won't advance. We must really work together. And that's why, in 2017, it seems completely obvious to me that a book has to come out in both languages.
I spoke to one of the French authors who participated in the 24 Heures du Roman Challenge, Daniel Soha. Among his work, Daniel has written four novels, a book of short stories, and translated two books of poetry from English into French. I had to reach him over the phone. Let's hear why he participated in the challenge.
I participated in this project because I was interested in the challenge, authors in general, and myself in particular. To be an author is solitary work, so writing in a group was really interesting. Just the idea of writing a book with 24 people stimulated me.
Ça a été d'abord l'idée. L'idée m'a stimulé. Et puis ensuite, dans la pratique, ça s'est très bien passé.
And in practice, it went really well. It's one of the best experiences in my life, from a literary point of view, from a human point of view, and well, all the other points of view.
Les moments mémorables, ça dépend de quel point de vue.
The memorable moments, well, it depends from which point of view. One of them is that we had 12 hours locked in a train car. Well, I shouldn't say locked in because we could leave, but in a train car where we wrote, where the only thing we could do was write. It was a memorable moment, a moment that lasted 12 hours, but memorable nonetheless.
Ça a duré 12 heures, mais c'était un très long moment mémorable, disons. Et à part ça, c'est toutes les conversations que j'ai eues avec les collègues.
Apart from that, it was all the conversations I had with my colleagues, just the atmosphere in general. The atmosphere was creative, and at the same time, it was one of celebration. It was an atmosphere of work and celebration, and that was extraordinary. Also, there's the fact that we were all writers hailing from different universes, so it was interesting to talk.
Donc c'était passionnant de se parler, si vous voulez.
I asked Daniel what he thinks about creating a French Quarter in the city. His response echoed what Thierry and Anne had said previously.
No, there's not much of a, or rather, it's a little bit difficult to talk about a Francophone community. We're all from different backgrounds. Some are French, some are Franco-Ontarian, some are Quebecois originally, and so on. We all meet, we all gather, and around the French language. The French language is not enough. A language, in my view, is not enough to sustain a culture and a community. So we are all spread out all over the city, and we meet on certain occasions. But we don't have a community, per se.
Because it's such an amorphous group of people, as you said, it's probably going to be easier said than done, and doesn't sound like too many people are keen on it anyways.
Yeah, but a lot of initiatives have been put together, as I recall, from going through those experiences. The Alliance Française at one point wanted to be the center for French cultural stuff, and especially because of an idea of identification, the notion of identification to the Alliance Française, that was not very likely or very possible. Then the COFTEM Centre Francophone tried to do something. But what it does primarily, it's very useful, but what it does primarily is social action, information, and anything that's social, like social work, if you like. Mm-hmm. The doctors who speak French and so on and so forth. And in that respect, they're an invaluable part of a Francophone scene, because if you come from a country that speaks French, then and you don't speak English very well, then your first concern will be to find a doctor, a lawyer who speak French. A whole bunch of things like that. But there's no, so everybody has a little slice, has a little bit of a spectrum, but nobody has it entirely.
I guess what I'm also, I guess, interested in is because of the large number, I would say, in the GTA of French-speaking Anglophones, especially with the different, you know, immersion programs. And
yes,
I was a tutor for like 7 years, and the parents are always like, where can I go to buy French books? Where can I go to take my kids to French events?
Right.
So it seems that there's this demand from the Anglophones, and I'm just wondering about my final question here, mm-hmm. is just how do we elevate the presence of the French culture and language in Toronto to the broader audience?
Écoutez, moi j'ai des idées qui sont des idées personnelles, si vous voulez, mais elles vont être controversées.
Listen, I have some personal ideas that will be considered controversial. I would be very fiercely criticized. If we want to interest the Anglophones, and I think we must do it, we must not stay separated from Anglophones.
Je pense, par exemple, que même si le salon du livre français ou francophone devait rester,
I think, for example, that even if the French book fair remained, I think that since we're talking about books and literature, we should participate in English language book fairs or Torontonian book fairs. A book fair where there is a section in French, the Anglophones, even if they say, I would love to have books in French, etc., etc., the Anglophones will primarily go to English language events. And to have Anglophones with us, we shouldn't wait for them to come, because they won't come. We must go to them.
Il faut aller chez eux. Ça, c'est pour la littérature. Pour le reste, je sais pas. Pour le reste,
so that's for the literature side of things. For the rest, I don't know. Really, I don't. It's true that Toronto French schools are like factories to Frenchify Anglophones. So we have people who speak French. We have thousands each year that come out to these institutions. Yes, we shouldn't abandon them. We shouldn't let them go.
Mais oui, il faut pas les laisser tomber, il faut pas les lâcher. But again, we are in a difficult situation because we're drowned in a huge majority of Anglophones. This is why we have to find ingenious, intelligent ways of dealing with this issue. And no, there's not one nationality, whether Quebecois or Franco-Ontarian or French or Belgian, or there's not a single one that can do it by itself. So this is why, you know, again, for financial reasons and for cultural reasons also, partnerships are essential.
For a city that is a kaleidoscope of cultures, sounds, tastes, and experiences, it seems that Toronto's Francophone population is not terribly visible. But at the same time, it's all around us. Yes, we may have to go the extra mile to visit our only French bookstore, or dig a little deeper for French cultural experiences, but as mentioned by our guests, that could change through stronger community partnerships. That's all for now. I'm Viosa from CJRU, The Scope at Ryerson, coming to you from Ryerson University in Toronto. Merci beaucoup, and thanks for tuning in.
For more information on the Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, which is an annual celebration in partnership with La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, the National Campus and Community Radio Association, Community Radio Fund of Canada, and this station, visit www.ncra.ca/RVF.